down while Mr. Johnson is going to conduct a hearing at this time, sir.
Okay, sir.
Good morning, sir. Afternoon. Are you able to hear me, Mr. Monta?
Excuse me?
Can you hear me, sir?
Should I pick up the phone?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yes, sir.
So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. I'm going to introduce you to your board members conducting a hearing this morning. Okay?
Okay.
You have the Honorable Luis Quinones, the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I am going to be acting as your hearing lead this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to go over some information with you, Mr. Mata, and when I go over that information, if there's anything I need to correct, please feel free to correct me on that. You are before this board for an absolute discharge, regular parole, or home arrest. Is that your understanding, sir?
Yes, sir.
You became parole eligible on March 11th of 2002 is when you became parole eligible. You actually were sentenced in 1977 to death by lethal gas. However, in 1978, a year later, you were resentenced and you were sentenced to natural life, not eligible for parole for 25 years. And then you did appeal the conviction and that conviction was affirmed. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, according to the information I have here, sir, I don't see any family or community support, or do you have any family or community support?
I didn't understand the whole question.
Do you have any family that's going to be supporting you, sir?
Yes, I do have family. I don't put down family support because they're there for me, but I made this mistake. I came back. I've been given opportunities. I'm not going to deny that. And this time I wanted to face it myself. So I do have family support. Yes, I do.
Okay, well, it's important that you know that, because if you were released, sir, you're going to need that family support to assist you in trying to stay right. But I'm
going
to go over your institutional progress report. I see that you have taken quite a bit of program since you've been incarcerated. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, it says that if you were released, according to your release plans, you want to work on reentry transitional programs offered in the housing unit, and you will need placement along with ongoing access to medical care and medication for your heart condition. What's the situation with your heart, sir?
That's correct.
So what, have you had a heart attack, or what's the situation?
Yes, I had a heart attack in December of last year that ended up in the hospital for about a month. I had heart surgery.
Okay, it says that you want to work, or you try to find some work that would be conducive that you can handle, that would not impact or jeopardize your long-term health. So is that about right?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't work, but to a limit, certain limit. I cannot overexceed myself because the medication they got me on, I get spells with this blackout.
Okay. So it looks like you got one citation in January 18th for misuse of medicine, and that was, what's a T4 pill, sir?
That's correct.
What is a T4 pill? Is that a narcotic, or what is that?
No, it was Tylenol 3.
Okay. Tylenol 4, is that what that is? That's why it says T4?
Yeah.
Okay. And it looks like in April of 17, we tested positive for methamphetamine and amphetamine.
For what year? No, I haven't got, the last ticket I got was for the misuse of medicine.
Okay, but this was back in April of 17, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You tested positive for methamphetamine and as well as amphetamine?
Yes, sir.
And also in 17, they found a syringe that was in your pocket, your left pocket.
That is correct.
So Are you still doing drugs, or what's the situation, Mr. Monta?
I've had drug problems. That's my violations, if you can see, is drug problems.
Uh-huh.
I come to a board and I ask, because I know in 2000-something they passed a law that instead of sending a violator for drugs, send them to some kind of a drug treatment. And I have asked for that treatment. I'm a dope addict, you know, I've been all my life, and I tried to get off of it. You know, I try the harder that I can, but it gets the best of me.
Mm-hmm.
So I do have a drug problem, and every time I come to a board parole board hearing, I ask for this treatment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and every time I come, I get denied because they feel that I will be back for using drugs. But the parole board won't give me an opportunity to go to a drug program treatment to help myself. I had never had no drug treatment. All the time I did, everything I did, I done it myself. Never had no drug treatment, never was asked to help the boy have a drug treatment. But I asked the hearing every time I come, and they still do not, knowing me that I got a drug problem, knowing me that every piece of paper they got in front of me, in front of them, it's about drugs. Never came back to meet me charges. It's nothing but missing UA or dirty UA. But they still will not help me, still will deny me, because they know that I will be back for dirty, you know, using drugs again. But give me an opportunity to go to a drug program to try to help myself. That's all I ask.
Mr. Miles, you're about 60 years old now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You say the board hasn't given you an opportunity, but in 2003, you was given a 412B, which paroled you to your next consecutive sentence, which is the sentence that you're on now. But in 2007, you were given a regular parole. You came back before the board. It was modified in 2009. And then you had a parole revocation hearing, two of them, in which finally, in 2012, you were revoked. So you went back to prison in 2012 after being given regular parole in 07. You were out for about 5 years. What happened? Why'd you get revoked? Did that have to do with drugs, sir?
Yes, sir. And if you can see, all my violations been for drugs.
Okay, well then, you know, you can't say the board never gave you an opportunity, sir.
No, I'm not saying that the board, they have given me plenty of opportunities.
Okay, because it looks like...
I got a drug problem, and I asked my parole officers to help me go into a drug treatment. That's all I ask for. I know, and I don't deny it. I tell the board every time I come in front of the parole board hearing that I got a drug problem. I know that.
Okay.
And I ask for the help.
Okay.
So to give me a chance that I can say, you know what, I tried.
Okay.
I go to a drug program. They have some kind of thing that before they send you to prison, you violated for drugs, you get opportunity to go to a drug program. I never had that chance.
Okay.
But I ask, and that's all I can do is ask. I keep being denied. I'll see you guys in 6 months. There's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, well, it looks like, I'm just going by the record, sir, and it looks like that in 2013, you were given home arrest. You came back before this board, and they continued on home arrest in February of 14. And then it looks like in November, 14, your home arrest was revoked, and that possibly had to do with drugs, I don't know. But you've been out three times, sir, and each time you had the opportunity and you continue to use drugs. So you have to make a decision at some point in your life that you don't want to do drugs.
Yes, that is true. And I ask for help because I know me. I can go for so much time, and I have go for so much stuff in parole without using drugs. But then something gets in me that I gotta go back into the drugs. I have tried, and I have gone over 4 years without using drugs. And I have tried. And then other times I go out there and last a couple of months. I got a drug problem. And I asked the board, help me find a place, a situation I can program, go to this place and to help me get out of this way of thinking. Yes, I'm 60 years old, but I don't deny it that, as you can see, you said yourself right now, all my violations have to do with drugs. No new crimes, none of the drugs. But I continue asking for programming they had to do with drugs. They put in halfway houses where it's full of drugs. Knowing me, I'm a dope addict. I'm a drug addict. But the halfway houses are gone. There's more drugs in the halfway houses than the streets. Mm.
So, Mr. Miley, this incident that you are currently serving time for occurred back in 1977.
That is correct.
When the body of Ms. Deborah Lee Lopez was discovered at 1400 North 7th Street, the cause of death is that her throat was cut. And basically, it says that you and your brother, Alonzo Mata.
No, I am Alonzo Mata.
Luis Mata.
Yes.
Was arrested for the homicide, and both of you admitted that the environment in the death, according to the medical examiner, her neck is cut and severed, and she had stab wounds to the left chest. So, Mr. Miller, what happened? Why did you guys wind up killing this young lady?
I didn't hear the whole thing.
What happened in this instance? Why did you and your brother wind up killing this young lady?
I don't know. I was 18 years old. I was my brother, and I thought there was everything he said was right. Everything he did was good. Mm-hmm. And I was just a father instead of being a leader. Mm-hmm. I was thinking my brother would never lead me to a wrong situation. Mm-hmm. And he did. And I'm here, I've been in prison and paying for that life ever since.
So you and your brother sexually assaulted her and raped her, and then you guys dumped her out. Is that about what happened?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. So where's your brother?
He got executed in 2017.
So he did get the death penalty?
Yes.
So Mr. Miner, I also see that you have put in for interstate transfer to the state of New Mexico, Nevada, Utah, and California, and all of them declined your transfer. Is that right?
That is correct.
It says that one letter that's from New Mexico, it said that based on your history of violence while incarcerated prior to your death sentence and your gang affiliation. So you do have an extensive record since you've been incarcerated, but Mr. Mata, were you and your brother on drugs at the time you committed this crime where the lady was physically assaulted and raped?
No, I was in drugs, yes, sir.
Okay. Well, then, so you would understand why, and although you are admitted that you're a drug addict, I would think, do you understand why it's a concern to us that you're still using drugs and while you're in prison, and if we were to release you back out, that you continue to use drugs, that the possibility that you may commit another crime while, intoxicated on drugs, sir?
Yes, I understand. I understand everything what the board says. I agree with them. But at the same time, my violations have nothing to do with no new crimes. All my tickets in prison have to do with drugs. My violation has to do with drugs.
You're right, but you know, when you committed the crime, you were on drugs. So.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you. So I see Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Oops, sorry. Mr. Mata, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I certainly don't get in the business of scolding people during these hearings, but you keep saying it's just drugs, and I think it's important to point out that it's never just drugs. You're dealing with an entire illegal market where people are routinely involved in property crimes to feed their habits, and the market itself is involved in violence to maintain control of the industry. And it just does not sit well with me for you to be saying over and over again, it's just drugs. It's a lot more than that.
No, it is not more, because I have not been charged with no burglaries, no shoplifting, no nothing.
So how are you paying for your drugs, Mr. Mata?
Excuse me?
How are you paying for your drugs?
I buy it by my own work, when I work. I don't steal by drugs. Where I work, I got jobs.
So you purchased drugs from drug dealers, right?
Yes, sir.
Who do you think they were involved with?
That's their business. It's not mine, sir.
Well, thank you. I have no further questions.
Mr. Neal.
I'm sorry. So, Mr. Neal, you say you want help from the board doesn't do anything, but we have no authority to recommend you to any certain places. The best we can do is recommend appropriate drug abuse programming and the PO that figured out. But you're incarcerated, and I see that way of back in 02 or somewhere around there, you took substance abuse courses. Have you ever thought about taking those again? Or the other question, don't they have AA and AA on your yard?
No, they don't.
They don't. That's one of the, you know, most every inmate causes of on the yard. And I know there's some that don't have it, but have you asked for a transfer to a different yard so that you can get it?
I'm in a medical unit. Medical gotta release me. I can
imagine. Have you been in the medical unit the entire time you've been incarcerated, sir?
No, I've been in the
cell. So right now in the medical, you don't have access to it, but before you had the heart attack and you went in the medical, you had access to it, and you failed to partake of it, correct?
No, I did all the, you got all the certificates, I did.
I don't have anything on NA or AA, and
oh,
you, I'm asking you. So the question is, before you had your heart attack, before you went to the medical unit that doesn't have any NA or AA, were you participating in those?
Yes, I did several. I got several certificates for AA.
Were you participating in before you had your heart attack?
Before that, yes.
No, at the time you had your heart attack, were you participating in AA or NA or
BA? Yes. Yes, I was.
Were you going to class and everything?
Yes, I was when I was in Lewis Complex.
What is it about that is the prison system's or the parole board's responsibility to make you accept that and you to be able to stay away from drugs from their training?
Because the difference between this drug program we got here in prison, we just go to a room and sit around for an hour.
Okay.
We don't do nothing, and we get certificates. That's the difference.
Okay.
You don't do nothing but hear conversation, what's going on. You don't do no drug program, you don't do nothing, but you get a certificate.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. Are there any other questions?
Any other questions?
I'm sorry. It's your
All right. Mr. Mata, not hearing any other questions coming from the board, so we're coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board that's relevant before we go into discussion?
No, sir.
Okay, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, I'm going to ask you, Mr. Mata, to stay on the line so you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. During the discussion, we will make a determination of whether to grant or deny your parole. I need you to remain silent while the board's in discussion, and we'll get back with you with the board's decision after the discussion, okay?
Okay.
All right. The board's now going into discussion. I do understand Mr. Mata's situation, that he admits to being a drug addict, that many of his violations when he was released had to do actually with drugs, but Mr. Mata was given four different opportunities to be out in 2003, 2007, 2011, and 2013. During each time that he was actually released, he continued to do drugs. And while he's still in prison, he is still continuing to use drugs while he's in prison. And he says that he wanted to get into a drug program or some type of rehab, but I think the first step is that Mr. Mata has to make his mind up that he's done with actually doing drugs. He says that he knows himself, that he does do drugs, he stays off of it for a while, but he gets the best of him and he starts back to using drugs. This was a very violent crime that was committed while he was on drugs, and he and his brother committed, where they physically and sexually assaulted the female, the young female, and then took her and dumped her on the side of the road where her neck was cut, and then stabbed her during that process. So at this time, I don't see Mr. Mata being suitable for release back out into the community at this time. I'm going to listen to the rest of the colleagues. Seeing no comment coming from the colleagues, I'm going to make a motion to deny Mr. Mata regular parole, home arrest, or an absolute discharge. Well, this incident occurred in 1977, so he's not eligible for a 1 year set off. That would be my motion.
I'll second.
Agreed.
Agreed. Motion second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. Mr. Quinones, Mr. Neal, Dr. Wright. Home arrest, absolute discharge would be denial. I'm going to mark that it was a serious and violent offense. Loss of human life, I'm going to mark serious and deviant offense. It was trauma to the victim as though she was physically assaulted and raped at one location, taken to another location, dumped, and then had a throat cut. She was young. I'm going to mark serious bodily injury as to the injuries that she actually received. I'm going to also mark history of continued substance abuse, history of assault behavior, prior criminal history. I'm going to mark poor institutional behavior as he has had some recent disciplinary infraction, along with go with recent disciplinary infraction. I'm going to mark poor no release plan, no family or community support. Those are going to be the reasons for denial unless the board sees some other reasons that we need to add in. Send no other reason to add in there. Mr. Mata?
Yes.
So the board has voted to deny you parole for regular parole, absolute discharge, or home arrest, sir. Did you hear the reasons why for the denial, sir?
Was one of them for violent behavior?
You want me to read them back off to you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here you go. Sir, it was a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, serious and deviant offense, trauma to the victim, serious bodily injury to the victim, a history of continued substance abuse, a history of assaultive behavior, prior criminal history, poor institutional behavior, recent disciplinary infraction, poor or no release plan, and no family or community support system.
Yes, I heard everything.
Okay. So that is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. Mata. I do thank you for taking the time and opportunity for appearing before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing. Thank you, Mr. Mata.
You're welcome.
3 on the line, sir.